there is none like you. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we appreciate you, Lord. He's the Lord. He changes not. 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 He's the Lord. Before you this morning in praise, in thanksgiving, asking that Lord, you open our hearts and our eyes to understand your word this morning. We bless you, Lord God of heaven, for the revelation of thy word. It brings life, it brings deliverance, it brings salvation, and it brings blessings. Thank you, Father. Receive all the glory. For those who are not here, make a way, Lord, for them also to get a blessing out of the ministration of this word this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's be seated. Please, I want to make a request. It may sound strange, but yes, it's a request. I want you to listen to the first 5 minutes of this message. At least, don't walk out, don't go out. The first 5 minutes of this message. And if you think in your heart that there might be somebody, I just say don't go out, if possible, for the first 5 minutes of this message. If you think it is possible, and you think that this might relate to somebody, just tell them to listen at least for the first 5 minutes of this message. You see, God gives revelations and gifts, but at times we have to be careful. I don't want to go into stories, but God does reveal things. But in delivering it, there is challenges. Take, for instance, was two nights ago, at a lady that I really don't have association with that much, something was revealed to me about her in a dream. And it was troubling. I prayed for it, but I can sincerely say that I don't have the guts to approach this lady and tell her what I have seen. Because about 2-3 years ago, and it's funny how God does things. I pray for my own issues, I pray for other people's issues, at times I don't see nothing about it. And then somebody that I don't really have connection, I don't know why, God will reveal something to me about them. 2-3 years ago, I called the same lady about something, say, this is what I saw, and she was shocked. And 2 corrections, I believe, and that was resolved. But then, along the way, she challenged me in something, forgotten completely that maybe God have used this person to bless me once, though it was a misunderstanding. I kind of withdraw in having maybe to call her about this particular situation. I've had revelation about people that I have nothing to deal with, but there was somebody one time in the night, I have a revelation. I really don't have nothing to do with this person. But I went to Sam's Club. As I was walking into Sam's Club, he was walking out. I saw him, I recognized him, was with the wife. Say, are you this? Yes. Do you have plans to do this? Yes. Were you planning to do this? Yes. Don't do it. How did you know? I didn't know. God just revealed it. It happens once in a while. Don't bring money to me and say, see something for me, because it's not going to happen. Amen. Don't ask me to see something for you, because it doesn't happen like that. Amen? I've been sent on errand I don't know about, to people that have no contribution, anything to do with my life, have never supported my ministry or does anything for it. But God has his way. We don't understand it fully. And this thing happens once in a while. Then at times I get really like, being a human being, pissed off, I say, what about me? I have my own problems. Give me a revelation. Give me a solution to it. And nothing is coming forth. And there are people that come to me and say, Bro Emmanuel, pray for me. I need God to resolve this. And I pray with all my heart. I believe with all my heart. These are people that have blessed me, that helped me, that supported me in every aspect. And yet, I don't see nothing about it. And then a stranger, practically, that I have nothing to do with, God gives them a solution. But that is God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So as I said, the first 5 minutes, please, starting now, just listening to it. And then, if you think it affects anybody, please pass this message to them, listening to the first 5 minutes. It is not issue of sin or anything like that. Is issue of forgetfulness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The title of the message is Broken Vows and Covenants. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Broken Vows and Covenants. Amen. Amen. Let's read some scriptures quickly. Jeremiah chapter 11, 10. Jeremiah chapter 11, 10. Please be fast. It's just going to take us a short time. They are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words. And they went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. Amen. Then let's read Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4 to 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4 to 5. When thou voicest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Amen. Amen. Then let's go finally to Psalm 89, verse 34. Psalm 89, verse 34. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the things that is gone out of my lips. The reading on Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4 to 5 is where I said that you may pay a little attention. I will go on to explain them a little more in detail as we go forward. There might be somebody among us here who has forgotten a vow. I'm praying with all my heart that God will remind them of that vow so that they can go and redeem it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. To remove the reproach. To remove the reproach that they have found in their life. It is not intentional, but God has no pleasure in fools. When you are in dire stress situation, and you open your mouth unto God and made a covenant vow unto God, be sure to redeem it. And if you think that you have and forgotten, you may go back to God and pray. And say, Lord God, help me to remember whatever it was I have vowed about and forgotten so that I can redeem it and remove the reproach. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. You can walk out now if you want. That is the main message I want to pass to somebody. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. This is another powerful kingdom key that we can use to activate God's promises, to activate God's promises, covenant vows. And we are going to go into detail this morning. We urge people to pray, we urge people to fast, we urge people to wait on the Lord to try this and try that. But at times, there are mountains that is standing before us. And we have tried everything within our power. We have followed the scriptures, we have followed the advices of giving, of showing love, of doing this, of waiting on the Lord, of praying, and so on and so forth. And this thing seems never to move an inch. It's a stumbling block. It's a mountain before you. It is such an issue that you have done everything and it's not moving. There is another resource, another tool that heaven has provided, and it is biblical, and we prove that it's biblical. It is called vow, covenant with God. I hesitate to advise people to do it, because many a times when we are in a dire situation, that is when most people make this vow. And we tend to forget it, but there is a grave consequences to forgetting your vow. There are grave consequences to forgetting a covenant you made with God. There's a grave consequences when you have a breach after making a pact with God. It results in hindrances, untold sufferings, unnecessary one also, because we have forgotten. And God has ordained it such a way, and we're going to prove it through the Bible, that God has ordained it that any covenant you make with God, you should do your best not to delay it and also to redeem it. Now, I want to warn people who listen to preachers who curse you to making a vow. Donate money and God will do this for you. That is not from the Lord. Give this and God will help you in this situation. No. The kind of vow we talk about is a revelation that came from your deep spirit. When you are in a dire situation, when your back is on the wall, and God bring it to your mind to make a vow, to make a covenant pact with God. It has to be something equivalent. It has to be something comparable to what you are asking for. It is a sacrifice that will cost you much. And it can go in either direction. Because when God stands to resolve that stuff and turn it around for you, we being human beings, we tend to forget. This morning, we are not talking of Noahic covenant. That is the covenant that God made with Noah, where he sealed it with, as long as you see this rainbow, the bow in heaven, my covenant with you, and all earth shall stand. No more shall flood or waters overrun to destroy this world. That's a covenant. It's a different one altogether. We're not talking of Mosaic covenant made by God with the children of Israel through Moses, sealed it with the tablet of stone and also some other requirements. Neither are we talking of Abrahamic covenant. No. He sealed it with them and say, you have to circumcise every male offering. Blessing, I will bless you to all generation, as long as you and your descendants hearken unto the words of the Lord. Neither Davidic one or the covenant of the New Testament. We see all this covenant that is there, but what we are talking is the covenant that you, the vow that you initiated, not the one that God initiated like he did with Noah, he did with Moses, he did with Abraham, he did with David, he did in the New Testament through Jesus Christ. It is the one that you initiated. You are the covenanter. And God is covenantee in this case. The ones initiated the other way around, he is the covenanter, the initiator of the covenant, of the vow. And you, Abraham and others, are the covenantee. There is no binding situation here because it's either they do it and inherit the promises or they don't do it and don't inherit the promises. You do what God has asked them to do, or if you're a children of God, a child of God, by right, you are entitled to those covenants. You can claim it. You can call God to remembrance. But what we are talking about this morning is the one that you initiated when you are in trouble, when your heart is overwhelmed, and we are needing children many a times. We are talking of a special situation here that prayer have not moved, your fasting have not moved. People have seen, thus say the Lord on your behalf. And it's still there, it's still hanging there. You have pushed every button you know how to push, it is there. I warn you and I tell you this morning, check and see if covenant or vow has been made on your behalf or you have made one and he has not been redeemed. There are conditions to it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. A covenant vow is a solemn and binding agreement. A contract between a man or and a god, or entities, maybe between a kingdom and a kingdom, or a nation and a nation, that when it is agreed upon, when it is signed, sealed, and delivered, and the recipients have agreed to these conditions, it becomes law abiding that it is enforceable. You can enforce it, you can enforce it to the point of saying you have to keep your promises. The covenant I make with you, you can take it to any level to extract that promise, extract that covenant that this person has made with you. And this is not different from the spiritual level. God can forgive most things. God can overlook most things. But when you look God face to face, a pact is made between you and God, and you forget, and you delay it, and you neglect to redeem it, heaven will come calling. The messenger will come to extract that promises. And the consequence of it is dire in most situations. That is why people, even in the time of Israel, when this vow is being practiced a lot, it's not being done much in these days. At the beginning of Nazareth vow, they shove their head. They do something extra. They go to a special place in Israel to make this vow. And they shave their head as a remembrance, or do something extra as a remembrance. And they will not cut their hair again until they have redeemed that covenant law or vow they made with God. They will stick with it for the duration of the time negotiated, allotted, or waiting. And they will leave their hair to go all the way down their body until it is time, so that anybody who notices them knows that they are under a vow. It is done in the Bible, in the New Testament, and in the Old Testament. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Even in the world, we see covenant being extracted by force. Take, for instance, NATO, Northern Atlantic Treaty Organization, was formed in the early 1900s. It is to be a way to counter Russia. It is a way to counter them because they were becoming a threat to the whole world. So certain kingdoms came, about 12 of them, now and there are 32. Every kingdom in that Northern Atlantic that doesn't belong to it are doing their best to be part of that pact. Why? Because they formed this pact among them and say, look, an attack on one is attack on all. I want you to think of this in the spiritual level when you make a pact with God. An attack on one is an attack on all. In other words, if the Soviet Union should attack any of this nation that is under this pact, we will immediately respond by force against Russia. One of the few countries that is not in it, Ukraine. Not that they didn't want, but they didn't qualify, because a covenant has a criteria you have to fulfill to make it. There's a pact that needs to be made for you to be there. And so, they attack Ukraine, nothing that America, they cannot go into the war, the NATO cannot go and intervene directly, it's not part of the pact, it's not part of the agreement. The resources that they have cannot be applied. The resources of the heaven cannot be applied, in speaking spiritually. But one day in November 2022, a stray bomb streaked over and fell into Poland, who is part of the pact. The next day, the forces of NATO was galvanized to go and make an end of Russia once and for all. Russia started shouting, "We are not the one that shot this bomb. It is not from us." They investigated it. This is a true fact. And they found out, yeah, it is a bomb that Ukraine shot, but it's tricked. No, there's a decoding in this stuff. It went the wrong way and landed in Ukraine. So they were not able to enforce that part. The same thing with heaven. We are coming to that. Magna Carta is something that in 1200, another pact made by the barons of the days of John the King, that if the king goes against the barons after this charter, this agreement, this covenant, this vow was made, then we have the right to revolt against the kingdom. And down the years when the king revolted and did contrary to the charter, they galvanized and brought the enemy, France, into being to attack their own nation, because that is what they have in that chapter. Now, I'm saying this because I want us to understand how far heaven can go to extract a vow, a covenant that you made and you have a breach. So don't make any covenant, a vow, that you are not willing to. Don't make a covenant, a vow, that you will not be able to execute. Don't do it without having a way of making sure that you remember what you said, how you said it, and be willing to redeem it at the appointed time. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. 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 To God be the glory. Now, a covenant and a vow are similar but little different. To make a covenant with God, initiating it, you have to take the word of God, the promises of the word of God, and make a vow of what you want to do if God delivers you from this bottomless pit situation you are facing. If you are married, your wife or your husband should be in on the pact. Because, as I said, such sacrifice is not something negligent. It has to be something comparable to what you are asking. At times, you may have to ask God to reveal to you how far or what you need to give in exchange. Give you an example. A young man who was tired of his situation, who was tired of a dire situation he was facing in life, he takes one step forward, he goes two steps backward. Some of us start to call it generational sin that is, or cause that is affecting him. Not sure that's the case or not. Some of us have a name or a reason why this is happening. Why you take one step and forward and you backward in virtually many things in your life. But one day he, based on God's mercy, he said, "Today, I'm making a vow in this small town where I am that I will knock on every door that is habitable, where people live, and declare the word of God to each person in about a population of over 1,000 people." And this was not an easy challenge because that community, it's a community that some doors is unapproachable. Right at the gate, they have a huge voodoo, a huge spiritual voodoo, whatever they call it, put there. And it's a place people are afraid of this thing so much because it's part of their daily life. Then how are you going to go knock on that door to preach the gospel? We don't have time to go into the whole story, but he initiated it. He didn't wait for the result, but he did it. And God answered at the end of the day, blessed be the name of the Lord. He fulfilled his part. Now there is a woman who also made a promise. The mother of this young man, before he was born, that, Lord, if you can give me my own child of the womb, because she was barren, here is what I will do. Every year of their life, I will call all the community of brethren, Christians, in this town, and make a sacrifice, do something to bless all of them, gather them to eat and to render thanksgiving in what God have done. She continued this thing all the years, even when she is destitute and have nothing to offer. She will sell, she will scramble, she will borrow to make sure that that vow is promised. As promise was done. And God honored her. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. So when you want to make a covenant with God, you have to take it from the word of God, apply your vow, something comparable, something not of mean significance, something that is tangible, that will be a sacrifice that costs you something. And say, Lord, I'm initiating this vow. It's up to you to determine if there's a period to it or not, or how it's going to go about. You are presenting it to God. If it is acceptable to God, believe me, vow, a covenant vow, is a mountain-moving spiritual key that can unlock, that can break, that can open what has been or seemingly an impossible situation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. 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 Jacob initiated one. Running away from his brother, he came to Bethel. Now listen to this. He came to Bethel and slept in the night. As he was sleeping, he saw angels of God coming up and down. He said, I didn't know that this is a house of the Lord, a place of God. He took a stone and poured oil on it and said, I'm going to go on my way to my uncle Laban, running away from my brother. But if you will keep me in my way, if you see me through this journey, he was in a time that he was in a dire situation, going to an unknown land, running away from his own father's house. His life is at risk. An angry brother, capable murderer, is after him to kill him. Say, if you will take me there and bring me back, then I will do what? I will definitely build a house for the Lord. 20 years down the line, Jacob was ordained to be a prince of God. But he could not come to that promise until he has redeemed that vow. So God put things into work in the life of Jacob. And he decided to leave. Only that Laban, his father, his uncle, would not allow him to go. God have to come and warn that man and say, let my prophets go so that he can go and redeem the promise he has made. Look at that in Genesis chapter 31 verse 13. Quickly here. Genesis chapter 31 verse 13. The importance and potency of vow. I am the God of Bethel. Jacob had probably forgotten this thing. He never mentioned it in his life again. But God come and spoke to him again and said, you remember that Bethel where you poured oil upon a stone and made a vow. I am God of Bethel where thou anointest that pillar and where thou voice that a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land and return unto the land of thy kindred. God wasn't just telling him to return. He's telling him to go back and redeem the vow that he has made. Due to time, we are not going to go into detail what happened because he redeemed that vow. But he became a prince with God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Jephthah was a man that was thrown out of his father's house. A prince of Gilead. His father was Gileadite. And he has to go away from his father's house unto a strange land. Being a man of valor, he had attracted others who came around him. And what happened, though tragic, was that they came to him and said, when the Ammonites came to destroy the Gileadites, came to him and said, you're a capable man, come and lead us to war. And he said, no. Didn't you guys throw me out? They say, if you come, we agree, we made a pact that will make you king to rule over us. So he opened his mouth and made a vow to God. That's why I say, don't make vow casually. Don't make without God's guidance. Make sure you know what you are saying. Don't do it because anybody is coercing you to give money, because if you give money, you make a vow and then you get hundredfold of it. No. Make it because it's revealed to your heart. You are seeking God. You need God's help. Well, he did make a vow. I say, Lord, if you take me to this war and give me victory, when I come back, any first thing that came out of my house to greet me, I will sacrifice unto the Lord. He probably thought that a cow will come out to greet him on the beginning, you will see, or a slave or something else. But guess what comes? Vow can be costly if it's not done well. It was his only daughter, the only child of his womb, that came with timbrels and other people dancing to come and greet the father. I say, my God, daughter, this is a high day of my life, but you have brought me low. I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot take it back. The daughter will say, whatever you have promised God, fulfill it on me. But give me a few months to go to the mountains of Israel to mourn my virginity. At the end of that day, I will come back and you will fulfill your vow. Till today, the children of Israel still have a day of remembrance, there's a portion in a year to go and remember the daughter of Jephthah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Hannah was another person who made a vow unto God. And when God honored his word, she also honored God. It wasn't an easy thing to take your only child as of then and give him over to somewhere else where he's going to be for the rest of his life. Because if you will give me a child, I will loan him back to the Lord. I will make him a priest for the Lord. There's no separation. He will be ordained for God. All the days of his life, she did fulfill that. We see in the Bible also that Apostle Paul shaved his head. In other words, he shaved his head, and they say because he has made a vow. I'm saying this for you to know that it's not just the Old Testament, but it is also in the New Testament. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. In ancient Babylon, the culture of Mesopotamia, in the days of Medes and Persia, Grecian and Egyptians, they have this culture of doing vows, a covenant with one another. And that covenant is made in such a way that it is initiated by invitation. And then they have what they call the covenant meal. And then they have what they call swearing of an oath and the work of death. God has used some of these things to portend even to the generations to come how vow can be worked and not to be taken lightly. These four steps also, we're not going to go into that, Jesus Christ fulfilled. He gave us the invitation. He gave his body as meat. That's why he said, when you eat this body, do not eat it casually. It's a covenant meal. For many have eaten it, many have eaten it unworthily, and for that reason, many of you are sickly and die. When you eat it unworthily. Jesus Christ fulfilled that, but let's look quickly at the Bible, at Genesis. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 34, 18, please. Jeremiah 34, 18. Jeremiah 34, 18. Let's read. And I will give the men that have transgressed my covenant, which have not performed the words of the covenant, which they have made before me, when they caught a calf in twain and passed between the paths thereof. Let's go to Genesis chapter 15, verse 9. Genesis 15, verse 9. And God said unto Abraham, take me an heifer of 3-year-old, and a she-goat of 3-year-old, and a ram of 3-year-old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Go to 10, please. Verse 10. And he took unto him all these and divided them into the midst, cut it in half, just like Jeremiah said in 34:18, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided it not. Go to 17, verse 17. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace, a burning lamp, that passed between these pieces. This was God with Abraham. As I said, in the ancient custom of this land, serving their ungodly gods, serving their God that are no God, they also have this culture whereby they make a pact with one another. They make an agreement. And to fulfill this agreement, it goes into steps. They have to issue an invitation. They have to also make a covenant meal. Then they have to swear in the name of their false gods. And they have to walk the walk of death, as shown here. That walk of death, when they're making these oaths, they will say that if we make a breach of this covenant, if we, you fulfill your part and I do not fulfill my own, if we at any point turn against these things we have agreed and signed and sealed and delivered and have accepted between us, then let us be like this calf that is killed and divided into two. Let us be destroyed like these animals were destroyed. God, in his infinite mercy and grace towards mankind, to show to Abraham, to show to each one of us, that the vow, the covenant he made with us, he is going to stand by it by all means, took this walk of death by himself and walked between the calf that is here said. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp passed between those pieces, whereby telling Abraham that the promises here made, that the covenant issued here, it will not in any way, at any point, for any reason, be neglected, be refused, be diminished. God has sealed it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Why am I bringing this out? Don't make a vow you are not ready to make. You are fulfilling this criteria in the spiritual. It's a spiritual walk. It's an invitation. There is a call to it. You have shared that body. You have, by taking that promise of the word of God and adding your vow unto it, you're walking that walk. You made a promise and say, if I do not fulfill my part. That is why I'm said in the beginning that many a prayer has been hindered. Many tough situations are holding up because people can make vow, covenant vows, and forget it, and heaven will collect because it's a binding and solemn agreement. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Of all the forces in heaven, the power of God, other than mercy, other than the love of God, other than the blood of Lamb, the blood that was shed on our behalf, there may be no other force as potent, as powerful, as the force of covenants. So do not enter it lightly. Do not enter it. Enter it with your eyes wide open. Don't go because some apostle or prophet or individual tell you to do it to get money out of you. And some of us in the days before we become born again Christian or know the Lord, or even after we become born again Christian, have entered into pacts, has entered into covenant. And then later on they turn to the Lord and then they find that their way is blocked, that certain things is not going through as it should go, and they are praying, and even though the men of God have spoken to God has revealed it to you that you have the right to this, and they have prayed for you and seen, thus say the Lord, and still there is no breakthrough. I say to you, pray. Ask God in his mercy to open your eyes to understand. Let's look at Psalms chapter 66. Psalm 66. Quickly here, we have a few more minutes. Psalm 66 verse 2 and 3. Believe. Psalm 66, is that there? No, that's the, is that chapter 2, Psalm 66? I seem to have forgotten where that is. Psalm 66, let's read from verse 3 and 4, please. I think I missed that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Where is where David was talking about the vow that he has made and he has forgotten? And he has to go back to God and say that I will redeem the vow that I've made in the time of trouble. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. That I will redeem the vow that he has made in the time of trouble and forgotten. Why am I saying this? There might be time that we made vows and forget it. And I'm not going to go into detail, but he went through a lot until he realizes that he has not fulfilled this vow and he has to go and redeem it. Amen. Now, as we close, I want to know that you have a covenant right with God and that the fathers, our forebears, knows also this. Many a times when situation gets tough, some of them will go back and call on the covenant that God has with David, with Abraham, with Moses, in the days of, say, remember the Moses, the mercies promised us as of those days. Remember the covenant you have with us as of this day. Thank you. He said, I will go into thy house with burnt offering. I will pay thee my vows. Amen. Go to 14, please. Which my lips have uttered, and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. It was in the day of his trouble. We're not going to go to the story of this, what happened or not happened. But it was in the day of trouble that he made that vow. And his mouth uttered it. But he forgot to redeem it, and he faced the consequences until God in his mercy reminded him that you have forgotten the vow you made. A man of God was telling a story of his own case. He didn't know that it was a major problem. He made a vow to God while standing in Israel by the wall. He went visiting there and stood by the wall and stood by that wailing wall and made a promise and said, God, if you will do this, if you will take me to this land for this reason, then I will do this. So what happened? He got there and forgot. And things wasn't working out well. And he kept wondering, why did God bring me here to face this situation? Why did God make a way for me? And then God in his mercy said, you have not fulfilled your vow you made unto the Lord. The whole point of this message today was covered in the first 5 minutes. That we can utilize this tool to move mountain, prayer that were not answered before. We can use it to break down certain wall of separation. That God can use this method. It's been in the scriptures. It's not being preached much about. And when it's preached about, it's preached in the wrong way. There's other things we didn't say this morning. But at the same time, if you have to make it, be careful, because there are grave consequences. When you make a vow, a covenant vow with God, you have to be prepared to redeem it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, as I was saying, you have a covenant right with God. You have a covenant right because God has ordained it in the scriptures. That covenant right put you in certain right for whatever was God promised to Abraham under Jesus in the new covenant. Every one of them, it is your right. And you also have the right to use this method to approach God to help with your situations. Let's stand on our feet as we close. If you have unexplained obstacles in your life, you can ask God to help you. Maybe it is because it's been blocked. You have made a breach in your covenant, in your vow with God. Amen. I pray that God will open our eyes to this simple situation. I can't go into detail, but there may be person whose situation is dire and they need to redeem their vow. So please, let us pray for God to open our understanding. Amen. Covenant vow is important if we make it to be able to redeem it. It is also one of the weapons in our arsenals to fight and get a breakthrough with the Lord. Amen. The strength and efficacy of this cannot be in any way undermined. It is a law of heaven. We went through the scripture and put up some of the law, how God had ordained it within with the world, and then in the spiritual also, he did the same thing to Abraham to prove to him that this is a very serious thing. You and your children have to abide by this law, have to abide by these promises, and so that you get the blessing that I have promised. Amen? And then, in all things, let us remember that the mercy of God is way above covenants, is way above vows. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, if nothing else works, we can always fall on that mercy seat. Amen? We have nothing to fear when we know that the Lord God, as I said, it is a force of his own, but God's mercy endureth forever. And new every morning, God's love is with us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So when other things fail, if you cannot remember, if you are not sure, don't beat yourself to death. Call on the mercy of God and say, Lord, maybe my mouth has made a vow when I was in trouble, and I cannot even recall it, then Lord, redeem me. If others have made that promises on you, like they did with Samson. Samson was one of those who they made a covenant for, and he died because he broke that covenant. He was not supposed to shave his hair, made without his knowledge, but he knew about it. So if covenant is made for you, and it is made in unrighteousness, and you remember it, redeem it. But if it is made in unrighteousness, and the enemy is bringing fear to your heart, and say, and I know one of such, that they made when she was a maiden under the father in the father's house, but that was not a godly way, and later on become a child of God, then you can stand firmly on the word of God, that the fathers cannot eat sour grapes, and the children still be set on edge. The Bible says it shall not be so in Israel. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So God always creates a way of escape. Do not be afraid. God's mercy endureth forever. Amen. Let us thank the Lord. If you are listening to this message this morning, just ask God to lead you. He has done it for many. If you are bound by certain oaths, certain vows, certain covenants, and it's being a burden, a hold on you, not allowing the light to break through, not even allowing the anointing to break the yoke that God has ordained in your life to be broken, then this morning we stand by the word of God and we declare the mercy of God over your life in Jesus' name. And we declare the mercy of God over your children in Jesus' name. And we declare the mercy of God over your resources in Jesus' name. For mercy of God is way above any vow or covenant. For God's mercy endureth forever. Therefore, Lord, I speak to that person who is worrying now or thinking now, what am I to do? Whether it is done by my fathers or my mothers or by entities that I know about and my name is attached to it. Know now in the name of Jesus that whatever was done is loosed now in Jesus' mighty name. And we stand on the mercy of God to declare so. That blessing will flow through your life. That stumbling block will no more be there. That mountain shall be leveled. That obstacle is removed in Jesus' mighty name. Eternal God, we thank you for your word is not meant to bring us into bondage, but unto salvation and deliverance. Therefore, free anyone who unknowingly is in any way entangled with this law. Deep-seated law that so it shall be so. But Father, your goodness and your goodness endureth forever also. Show your goodness to such a one at this hour in Jesus' mighty name. You and the Son of Man set you free. You are free indeed. The laws is no more holding you. You are free indeed in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord.